Greetings. Welcome to the Closer Look broadcast of the Alive Vineyard. My name is Steve Osborne, Senior Pastor, and here I sit in front of this big blue ball microphone, sharing with you my heart in relationship to the grace of God. We're in the midst of a series of sermons on the grace of God, and you can catch the previous sermons on our website at alivevineyard.org. We've covered the Wesleyan perspective of prevenient grace of God, which is the wooing God has for his children here on earth, and he draws us into a relationship and the understanding that he's been there since we were born. Justifying grace of God, which is when we get to that point where we're ready to make a covenant with God because of we realize the understanding of his son's sacrifice on a cross. Brandon Wilson did an excellent job with Wesley's Means of Grace. This is where we live day by day after we've made a decision for Christ and walking in his love, and he teaches us to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And next we'll be looking at sanctifying grace. And that's part of what I want to talk about on this webcast or podcast this morning. Wesley's own life charters God's movement of grace. When he was a young boy, he was lived in a pastor's home. His dad was a pastor, had lots of brothers and sisters, and once they were all at home, the house caught on fire. Everybody was taken out of the house. They took count of the kids and realized that little John wasn't there. They formed a human ladder. They got him out of the house, and he refers back to that moment in his life as a brand plucked from the burning, because he was plucked out of that house when it was on fire. Later, when he found the grace of God and had that heartwarming experience on Aldersgate, he accepted Christ, and he caused that his second opportunity when God plucked him from the burning the second time. God's movement in our lives begins when we're born, at conception, as the Holy Spirit has followed us through our lives. It's kind of like a romance. God woos us with his love. He draws us into a relationship. We become aware of him. We're flooded with anxiety when that happens because we realize that we're sinners and we know that we don't deserve acceptance by a holy God. Our sin has to be dealt with. And that takes us to the point of the cross. And we get justified in our lives by grace of God because we realize that he died for our sins. It's not something we can do for ourselves. It's by his grace, and all we have to do is receive it as a gift. A few years ago, I read a series of books, there's four of them, by Ted Dechter. They have very simple titles, Black, Red, White, and Green. Once you complete the series of The Circle, you can start at any one of those books, and it'll just kind of complete the full circle of books, and I've never been in read a book series quite like that. Now, there are two worlds in these books, and a man by the name of Thomas Hunter finds himself traveling between the world of this world, and he falls asleep into a different world or a different reality, and he goes back and forth, and you begin to understand the wooing concept of God into this relationship. The reality of this world is challenged by encounters of the unique wonders of God. In this book, Dechter explores the romance of God with his creation. God slowly unveils deep aspects of his love for Thomas Hunter. He finds himself diving into an ocean of freedom of God's love that he never existed before. Now, Dechter uses scriptural principles without labeling the scriptures, but I fully enjoyed the journey. I saw the playful side of God, and more importantly, I saw the romance side of our Creator. I do recommend the series just for that fresh look at God, not just as a policeman in the sky, but someone who's seeking after you to have a wonderful relationship with you, and some of the obstacles that stand in the way when you're walking through your life. Our walk with God is like a courtship until we decide to enter into a personal trust relationship with Jesus. Jesus becomes our Savior, our friend, our guide, our comforter, our hope, and yes, our mate for eternity. The more we learn of our mate, the more we realize that we are unequally yoked or unmatched. We're not holding up our end of the relationship. We know we are forgiven. And we have no doubt of his existence in our lives. We have acceptance of his sacrifice for us on the cross. Yet we somehow know there has to be more to this relationship. And in some ways, that's kind of like a marriage. You get in the marriage, you love each other, you walk together in life, you have a house, you start having children. But you realize there's got to be something more to the relationship. You don't doubt the commitment of your mate, but you know that your relationship's not being fulfilled the way you thought it might be. So you want to seek something more in that relationship. That's possible in your marriage, but it's also possible, more possible, in your relationship with God. But nobody seeks to get to that point. We love God, and we know he loves us. But we have this problem getting along with each other. His command is for us to love one another. How do you command yourself to love others with the same kind of love that God loves you with? He loves us unconditionally, and we've accepted his unconditional love. But we are to love others unconditionally also. And that unconditionally really stretches us on the inside. That is a very high bar that is exactly the bar set in our Bible. From the Old to the New Testaments, the message is the same. Be holy, even as God is holy. Leviticus 11:44, 45, 19:2. And Peter repeats it in 1 Peter 1:16. How can we mere humans be holy as God? Or can we? John explains it in 1 John 4:7-12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. John really put it succinctly together in those five verses. John states emphatically in verse 8, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Ouch. I came to a point in my life where it was a crisis point, where I realized as a Christian, a young Christian, that there were people I did not love. There were people that I hated or didn't like at all, didn't want to be around. There were types of people I didn't like. Someone who would give drugs to a child in order to entice them into a world of drugs and use them to profit for themselves. People that would misuse sexually a child or would steal or would kill. I did not love those people. And that really got into my heart. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. I found myself dropping to my knees in my dorm room and saying, God, I don't love everybody. I know you love everybody. I don't even understand that kind of love, unconditional love. And how can I possibly? I can't do it. I know my heart, and I cannot love everybody. What do I do? If you want me to love like that, you'll have to take this hatred or this bitterness or this anguish out of my heart, and you'll have to replace it with your love. You'll have to do it. And I want you to know I experienced a wonderful experience that day, which I'll be sharing as I preach on sanctifying grace. In Wesley's book, A Plain Account of Christian Perfection, John explains what he means by Christian perfection, and more importantly, being entirely sanctified. That is a statement, being entirely pure, entirely sanctified, is the experience with the Holy Spirit that you can encounter when you give up trying and begin to rest in Jesus' love. And that was what his entire sanctification is all about, having a perfection in love. You see, it is who you are that frees us from the bondages of this world. Saul of Tarsus was fully committed to God. He studied the scriptures with the best of the rabbis of his day. He was on track to be a leading Pharisee when he had his blinding light encounter with Jesus. Disciples were committed believers, yet needed to be endued with power before being released to proclaim the good news to their world. Why? What was missing? They loved God. They need to love each other. They need to love the world, the Gentiles, the Romans, the religious Pharisees, everyone. They need to love with God's love and not their own. Unconditional love only flows from God's heart. That love unleashes the power of heaven and the gifts of the Holy Spirit flow. They said, stay in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from the Holy Spirit. And they waited until they had that experience. I want that heart to reside in me. There's an experience with the Holy Spirit where God takes your stony or hardened heart and he makes it his. You have to want it enough to ask for it, and look out, the sanctifying grace of God will overshadow you. That's the topic that I'll be looking at Alive Vineyard at 10 a.m. this Sunday morning, the sanctifying grace of God that you experience when you are sold out fully to God. So are you solely, fully committed to God in your relationship? Because if you are, it's going to make a difference on how you see and work with people, with your wife, your husband, your children, your parents, your neighbors, your co-workers, the people on the street. You can watch the live stream in 1 week delay on Kate on our website, or listen to the audio on these grace messages when you listen to Kate 98 Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock. So do join us, though, however, live. Come and be a part of the experience. And listen, maybe you, too, this Sunday can find that incredible love that just takes over your heart and takes all hate out of your heart and gives you hope. If you have any questions, give us a call at 740-364-1750 or meet us at 7602 Stewart Road, Newark, Ohio, for our next message in a series on God's amazing and incredible grace. Again, my name is Steve Osborne, and thank you for listening to the Closer Look broadcast.